I hope you all had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend as we come to you Monday night, six nights a week here, of course, 3 hours a night, coast to coast and around the world, live on the internet and all over North America via home satellite receiver. Jim Keith made quite a name for himself a couple of years ago, especially with his most recent book dealing with the black helicopter issue, Black Helicopters Over America. That has now been graced with a sequel, which we're going to talk to Jim about next week. But his most current title, as I just mentioned, is entitled Mind Control, World Control. And I can think of few authors I'd like to see tackle this subject other than Jim Keith, who has a certain flair for looking at things in a unique way and doing some great research. Jim, are you there?
Hi there, Jeff.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. We have much to talk about. Most people listening right now would probably say that we're dealing with an issue of what you'd call soft mind control, vis-a-vis the shooting incidents which continue to seemingly proliferate coast to coast in this country. I just got a report of a five-year-old in kindergarten in Memphis, Tennessee, who was disarmed by his teacher with a 25 caliber pistol the kid had, and the kid said he was going to shoot the teacher because he had to do a timeout. Now, this is not the hardcore essence of your book and your research, but it is a very important thing to discuss because mind control, of course, is an A to Z topic.
Yeah, I'm almost taken aback by commenting on the idea of a five-year-old wielding a pistol and trying to take out his teacher. It's almost too much, really, to grasp that our world has been, I believe, shaped in such a violent fashion.
Agreed, 100%. Jim, it is something that just doesn't compute. I mean, how a young mind, can be so influenced and be given a template that violence is the answer. But I really, without getting on the soapbox here, we've talked about this many times on the program. The average young person in this country watches television 43 hours a week, folks. And when you watch TV, we've established on this program, as have many other scientists, that you lapse into a deep theta state where you really no longer have the ability to discern and differentiate and make moral judgments about what's going in. It just pours in. And again, our young people are seeing 8,000 murders and over 200,000 injuries, violent injuries, by the time they are 16 through our major video media, whether it be film or television. These people are learning things. They're being programmed. They don't understand pain. They see violence. It's one-dimensional, two-dimensional at best. We have mind control, Jim, in virtually all facets of this society.
Right. Well, you know, what I focus on in my new book is not so much what I term the soft mind control of public relations and the influence of the TV,
yeah.
But I'm really delving more into the long-term technological mind control, including implants, including the activities of the CIA. The other is very pervasive, but you know, I think that I think there's a hidden history of mind control that is even more gruesome, that the wraps are very rarely taken off of.
Exactly right, and that's what your book does such a great job at revealing and assaying. What we need to do, I think, is go back if we can, and I'd like to start with the name Delgado, which is not a name that is exactly a household word to people, but Mr. Delgado did work that keyed an awful lot of money, and that means your money and my money, to be spent on some of these dark areas of mind control. Tell us about Delgado's work.
Yeah, really what we're looking at with Dr. Jose Delgado, he's almost a touchstone for this kind of electronic / technological mind control. He worked... what we know of his researches took place primarily in the 1950s. He was the inventor of a rather science fictional device called the Stimoceiver. And what that is an electronic control device for human beings that was injected through a hole in the skull. And using this tiny control device, Delgado could electronically order people from a distance, turn on emotions, turn on feelings, drive them berserk, walk them around, this sort of thing. And it is very, very little touched upon in the mainstream media that this sort of technology even exists. But Delgado had it rather fine-tuned as early as the 1950s.
Well, what you said was very interesting. You said what we know of his work, and quite clearly this man would probably fall into the same basket as Nikola Tesla. We don't know everything Tesla did. We probably don't know everything Delgado did. If 40 years ago he was implanting devices, which would give him, by and large, near-total control over living, breathing beings, and we all, I think, those of us who study this, know of his work. There was a story about a bull. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
That's very interesting. Go ahead and tell us about that if you remember enough.
Yeah, actually Delgado is Spanish and was connected in his early days with Spanish fascist movements and so forth. But one of his most famous experiments was wiring the brain of a bull and then going out into the bull ring.
Yeah.
With impunity and feeling completely safe, because every time the bull charged him, he would simply press a button and the bull would be brought to a standstill.
It's incredible. I mean, just to see a demonstration like this, imagine what the defense community and the military thought when they first realized that this technology was in fact real and applicable. This is 40 years ago.
Yeah, and Delgado, that's the most the most famous of his experiments, but there were some truly more startling experiments that he engaged in. For instance, he kept a colony of some primate, I forget what it was, a baboon or something, in the Bahamas, a compound of baboons that were wired, and he worked on social experimentation, getting otherwise timid baboons to take over and revolt against the leaders of the baboon
right.
society. And his comments went something to the effect of that humans too were equally controllable, and that society in fact should be totally controlled from above like that.
In your book, you have gone through many dark and rather tawdry areas of mind control endeavor. Tavistock, the original OSS CIA, the Dulles brothers, MKUltra, all of that. But again, to go on the other side of the issue, what we do know about, because your quote again, what we know of Jose Delgado's work, what we do know about technologically about what we might consider the softer areas of mind control are really remarkable items. I just put a piece up on the website tonight. You'll see it on headlines, and it would be well worth your reading as almost an entree to Jim Keith's new book here, which is entitled Mind Control, World Control. It's entitled Newly Declassified U.S. Electronic Harassment Technologies. Now, these are things that have been leaked or published that are pretty amazing, and I think the average person wouldn't have a clue. You would know, other researchers would. Aviation Week and Space Technology, that wonderful treasure trove of, in many cases, what amounts to secret technology revealed in pieces, had a story March 10th, 1997, a year ago. Radar warns birds of impending aircraft. This article by Bruce Nordwall, the Washington Bureau, describes research being carried out and by the U.S. Air Force Wright Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio. The article describes the use of modulated radar signals to produce audible sound within the brains of birds near airport runways to cause them to fly away and avoid collisions with landing craft. This is remarkable. I mean, they're actually creating sounds within the brains of birds at distance and causing them to flee.
Early on, researchers in the CIA, I'm not sure researchers is the term I'm looking for here, but early on these scientists were engaged in electronic projection of thoughts, of words, that sort of thing. And in fact, what we do know from relatively recent releases is that this capability was very, very fine-tuned so that words and phrases could be injected at a distance into people's minds. And it sounds like science fiction. Much of the history of mind control sounds like science fiction. But this stuff is gleaned from interviews with researchers and from official documents. It's not at all a kind of raving paranoid interpretation of life.
Right.
It's just a piece of science gone mad that is finally coming out.
It's very true. We have, of course, all heard stories of people flipping out, claiming they hear voices. There is a whole group on the Internet that have banded together. They are still working to try to bring more people in who claim to hear voices all the time. Apparently, many of them are hearing voices. This is not something coming from a filling in your tooth, either pulling in a nearby FM or AM radio station. Be right back. My guest tonight, Jim Keith, as we look into the murky world of mind control. Maybe I should call that taxpayer-supported mind control experiments in this country. Be right back. Talking with author Jim Keith, his books Black Helicopters Over America and Black Helicopters 2, certainly among his most well-known books, published by Illumined Press. His most current book, Mind Control, World Control. Let's go back, Jim, if we can, to the OSS, CIA interest in this whole issue of mind control. It went back to the days of LSD and actually before that.
Yeah, really, I think the first documented instance of the American intelligence community deciding to delve into the mind control issue was at the end of World War II. We know about George Estabrooks, who was employed in a hypnosis project. Later, he admitted that what this hypnosis was about was creating mind-controlled assassins. Again, it sounds like something wild out of the Manchurian Candidate or whatever, but it's perfectly factual. Estabrooks, a scientist, admitted this quite a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And the CIA and presumably other American intelligence agencies have been involved in fine-tuning those capabilities apparently up until the present day, because even though in the above-ground press there's nary a mention of it, we obtain hints of this. For instance, in people who claim to receive messages in their mind and so forth, and it is verified by such things as X-rays showing mind implants. So apparently the research, mm-hmm. the experimentation, simply went deeper, went blacker, went undercover, and is just no longer mentioned.
I've seen X-rays. In fact, I've got some pictures on my website. If you look under Secret Weapons, there is a story quite further back in the archives which does link to a site that at one point at least had pictures of people who had gone in for X-ray, and it right there, folks, a big device planted in their brains, and I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's wild. The MK Ultra issue remains a name that is rather well known, even in the above ground press, as it were. A rather infamous number of experiments. Tell us about MK Ultra, Jim.
Well, Jeff, I don't know. You must be tapped into a higher quality above ground press than I know of, because frankly, I never run across any mention of MK Ultra in Time magazine or Newsweek, or very rarely.
Not that high. Not that high.
But
if that's high.
I'm not hearing you.
It is occasionally mentioned here and there. I have seen it, but it certainly doesn't hit the cover of Time magazine, but it's out there a little bit. MK Ultra is a name that has sort of bled through the screen a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, and it's quite amazing. One often hears of such things these days, such as radiation experiments or medical experiments that of a gruesome nature in the past of the American military. For instance, giving LSD to servicemen, but MK Ultra initiated in the early 1950s, right around 1951. consisted of, I believe it was 149 sub-projects and millions of dollars into all facets of mind control. As an example of the type of things they were doing, the work of Dr. Ewan Cameron is particularly dark. It's reminiscent of the Rocky Horror Show without the humor. At Raven's Crag, this kind of gothic facility in, as I recall, it was Montreal, Canada. It might have been Toronto. But at Raven's Crag, Ewan Cameron did experimentation on people who were completely unwitting, had not given permission to be experimented upon, and he would put them into deep sleep for sometimes as long as 200 days, completely drug them out, use what was called psychic driving, in which a command tape loop was played again and again and again for hour after hour after hour, and essentially reduced these people to the condition of vegetables. Now, this was all officially done to be therapeutic. However, apparently no one ever noticed any therapeutic results of turning person after person after person into vegetables. It was like a conveyor belt for creating zombies, just to find out what kind of mind control could be done.
Yeah, indeed. The movie The Manchurian Candidate, said to have been basically made to disappear for about two decades. Wasn't around. Couldn't find it.
Yeah, you know, I believe it was Frank Sinatra who had that pulled, because he thought the issue of mind control was rather touchy at the time of the JFK assassination. There was a lot of speculation that Lee Harvey Oswald was mind controlled. In fact, the director of the CIA at that time issued a memo suggesting that Oswald had been mind controlled by the Russians. There are a lot of mind control underpinnings connected to the JFK assassination. But since it was a lone assassin, I laugh up my sleeve. That stuff is kind of irrelevant.
Did you just say what I think you said?
I laugh up my sleeve. You know, it's obvious that it wasn't a lone assassin.
Okay, yes, I got it. I hadn't heard the up the sleeve line in a while. Another name that people do not know most is a name that is well known in England, at least to the people who live near it. It's called Tavistock. Sounds like a nice place, kind of like Woodstock.
Indeed.
But it's not.
It sounds quite idyllic, doesn't it? Yeah, the Tavistock Institute was established, it depends on whether you believe the cover story or not. The buzz is it was established around 1921, but it is, in the official literature, it supposedly started around 1930. But what this was a collaboration between the psychiatric establishment and the military establishment of England. And it's remarkable. A great deal of the broad mind control projects and so forth, which have been instituted since those early days, have come out of this collaboration of military intelligence and psychiatry. Tavistock is an amazing nexus of world control, let's put it that way.
All right, and the work of Dr. John Coleman, David Icke, and others have pointed to Tavistock as being really the germination point for many of our social trends given to us en masse. Be right back to talk more with Jim Keith. Your call's welcome here. 888-ON-RADIO is our number, 1-888-ON-RADIO. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Rentz. This is Sightings on the Radio, and do drop by the website, www.sightings.com. A tremendous new dose of information up there for you to peruse and think about. More coming in all the time. Working on some big stories as well each day and each night. Talking with author Jim Keith, his new book, Mind Control, World Control, is a great one, published by Illuminate Press. We're talking about Tavistock, which is, again, not a summer school. It's something else, and it's been around for about 65 years now, as I recall. It is, according to Dr. John Coleman, David Icke, largely responsible for many of the major trends, social trends, moods, societal moods. There have been remarkable things coming out of Tavistock that have influenced our lives that we may never and probably will never know about. Tell us what you know about Tavistock, Jim, and it's tough to get information from there, but there is some around.
Right. In fact, you know, they are not entirely covert about their orientation. In their official literature, they talk about the contribution, again I say that with tongue in cheek, the
yes.
contribution of Tavistock is what they call sociatry, which is expanding the role of the psychiatrist from treating individual patients to treating cultures and countries and so forth. And they speak of their practitioners as being shock troops for injecting this psychiatric control into the world at large. It's really quite amazing how straightforward they are about admitting this thing. The basic orientation of Tavistock is something that you're probably familiar with already but didn't know it stemmed from them, and that is taking a patient, either an individual or a country, and bombarding them with negative input, whether it be negative views of their peers or whether it be created chaoses like assassination or created crises.
Sure, and, like a wag the dog scenario.
Right, mm-hmm. In fact. And reducing that person to that person or country to a vegetative state whereby they can be controlled. And again, I didn't get this out of Superman comics. My essential references are straight from Tavistock. And you'll see this echoed in a kind of a microcosm with groups like Esalen Al-Anon, with these little gestalt groups and so forth, where people are reduced to blithering idiots and then reprogrammed for a better self-worth or whatever. But the primary concern of Tavistock is to do that at large, to take countries and to take large numbers of people and, again, totally destroy their self-esteem, totally destroy their sense of being able to function on their own, and then to program them. And that whole theme runs through Tavistock really since the 1930s.
It's amazing how the battle for the mind, as you've pointed out very clearly, is waged on an individual and a countrywide basis by the mass media. And this is not just something that's in the experimental stage anymore. These are hard and fast principles. There's a cause and effect. These things can be set up and turned off and on almost as if you were throwing a switch.
And, you know, it's part and parcel of a very broad program. We see the guys who started Tavistock being involved in Nazism, being involved in eugenics programs, in quotes, for perfecting the perfect man by selective euthanasia and by gene control, this kind of Nazi orientation. It's amazing that towards the beginning part of this century, you see all of these guys involved in this program really for putting in fine-cut control worldwide. It's startling how closely the personnel of the Nazis, military intelligence, the eugenics organization, the euthanasia organizations, how these guys all collaborated on this worldwide psychiatric project.
It's true. And that was before the real perfecting of electronic delivery means for these various tools, which can be done now, they say, from a truck down your block, a satellite, overflying aircraft, you name it. This was in the days when we had sound and pictures to deal with primarily, meaning radio and television. Transcendental meditation, TM, big, big fad of the 1960s. Some people suggest that was, in fact, hatched by a Tavistock, if not Tavistock itself. Does that make sense to you?
I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes perfect sense as a possibility in that...
That kind of thing is turned loose on society, in other words.
Yeah. It would not be an unfamiliar kind of project, let's put it that way. I do know that the guy referred to as the Maharishi, who started TM, mm-hmm. who started Transcendental Meditation, was first a nuclear physicist, as I recall, which is a very strange qualification for launching a meditative movement.
Well, his supporters would say it trained him perfectly well for it, so who knows?
Yeah, it could be. But at the same time, whether TM is involved in that sort of thing, we do know that many, many religious and occultic organizations have had that orientation. One famous one that comes to mind, and I'm sure that you're aware of course, is Jim Jones in Jonestown.
All right.
When you look at the personnel involved in launching Jim Jones and his project, it kind of reads like a CIA country club. He received a lot of funding from American military intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. TM certainly may have been a spontaneous movement. Many suggest that a lot of the rock music that came to be such a popular force was a creation, at least the concept of it. It was directed as a social trend from and through the minds of Tavistock.
Again, I think that influence is there. I'm not quite ready to admit that the Beatles, for instance, were Tavistock agents.
Some have actually claimed that.
Dr. John Coleman said that. I don't really see that as being the case, but we see again the military intelligence and so forth manipulating these movements. With Haight-Ashbury, for instance, we see the CIA maintaining safe houses and mm-hmm. experimentation houses in that area. We see probably the majority of LSD, which flooded the country in the 60s, coming from the CIA. We see...
And the music certainly reflected that hand-in-hand, that entire drug culture.
Quite so, quite so. And it actually does have a rather Tavistockian ring to it to reduce the country, let's say, from a technological orientation to mm-hmm. a mystical orientation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with mysticism. In fact, I think that it's vital to have a grip on both mysticism and materialism to function in this world. But again, it does... 1960s music could easily have been a very, very Tavistock influence.
Indeed. Certainly, at the very least, we have the potential for managing these remarkable social phenomena like the 60s. Be right back with Jim Keith and your calls, his new book, Mind Control, World Control. It's always amazed me, the discussion about pop music, popular trends and so forth. This issue of Tavistock could well be that of a seed agency, dropping these things on, and then society itself is ripe and it just takes right off. Like dominoes, just kick one over and it goes. The management of these trends is certainly something that is well within the purview of Tavistock and other groups like it. Correct, Jim?
You know, it's... I'm reminded of the metaphor of Danny Castellaro, the murdered journalist. He called the conspiracy an octopus, and particularly in the issue of mind control and Tavistock and so forth, we do see these multiple tentacles. And people at large, do not make these connections because they are so multifaceted, because they invade so many areas of life. But we were talking about the 60s and about the possible manipulation of music and so forth as a mind control device. A couple of things came to mind, which is there is a CIA memo indicating Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead as
the late,
being
Jerry Garcia,
the late Jerry Garcia as being a CIA asset. Now, as to whether that's disinformation or not, and I know that would be very poisonous to the liberal elements of our audience, it's quite obvious that that the Grateful Dead, with their following and with their promotion of drugs and so forth, did do what the CIA memo suggested, which was to derail political activism and to turn virtually a generation of young people into guys who had more interest in their navel than they did into overturning, a kind of controlling class structure. You know, they really derailed a lot of potential activism by having people dancing in tie-dyed clothes.
Right, right. It went from largely extrovert to an introverted movement, and in a very short period of time, on balance.
You look at just prior to the psychedelic movement, what we had was the folk movement, which was very much interested in social iniquity and the underdog and reversing those situations in organizing political movements. And then we switched to Timothy Leary with his tune in, turn on, drop out philosophy. Well, Leary himself admitted that he was funded by the CIA.
Yeah. You watch these things come and go, and is it random or is it manipulated? And knowing what I know, I would suggest there's an awful lot of manipulation going on, and it's not too difficult to do given the amount of control and influence the electronic media has. I mean, the music industry now is all product. It's amazing how these things are marketed and sold. It's just amazing. Someone, you or I, literally could be turned into a pop phenomenon, I think.
Quite so. I don't...
Not that I would want to be.
You know, I think it would be kind of fun to have that kind of control and the possibility of getting a message out there. Of course, it's completely fanciful, because if you're put in that position, you're not the sort of person who is going to change circumstances. Certainly, Madonna does not get up on the soapbox and rail against CIA mind control.
No. Yeah, there's still time, though, Madonna. The issue of MKUltra, there are a lot of people now claiming to be victims of those experiments, hideous as they were, who are still damaged, who are talking about trying to recover in some way financially from it. I don't know where that's going to go. We have very little means of really certifying these people were victims, but there are a number of them out there.
You know, in many cases, I don't think there's any question that that a lot of people have been victims of mind control experimentation, and a lot of them have launched lawsuits and won against the CIA. It doesn't happen as often as one would like, because generally these people are paid off when they bring these issues to the fore. They're paid off and told to shut up and so forth. So it doesn't become quite as public. But there's simply no lack of documentation about these horrendous experiments, and they continue today. You know, I'm reminded of my black helicopter milieu in 1994, just as an example. In the town of Oakville, Washington, black helicopters did overflies over the period of about 3 weeks, spraying the town of Oakville with an unknown substance. Immediately, almost the entirety of the town became sick with a particularly violent flu. There was a lot of FEMA and military activity taking place in that area at the time. You know, it doesn't sound to me like just like some Asian bug that they happened to catch at the time, because it was raining down on them in droplets.
The number of experiments carried out on the unwitting, unwilling, an innocent American population is formidable, to say the least, and many of these have come to light and are documented. I've got several stories on them as well on my website. Jeff in Portland is on the line, listening to us on KOTK. Welcome, Jeff, for your question for Jim Keith.
Yeah. Did you guys just say that Jerry Garcia was a CIA operative?
There is a CIA memo from the late 1960s indicating that he was. Like I said, I'm not sure if that was disinformation or not.
Well, I'll tell you right now it is.
What's that?
I'll tell you right now it is because I'm not telling you my name, but I was with them. And Jerry Garcia had nothing to do with it.
Well, that may be, like I said,
you know.
There are many. Let me just jump in with one thing. Jeff, I think you're quite right. Calling someone an asset doesn't mean they're a paid agent. There can be manipulation of people without their knowledge. Jerry was quite clearly his own man, from what I know about him. But the issue of control and influence among the popular culture by the CIA and other organizations, I think, is pretty well documented. I think that's the big point. But thanks very much for bringing that up, and we agree.
Yeah, well.
By the same token, you know, this memo that I was talking about said that the use of Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead was to defuse or to derail political activism. And it seems to me that that is the case. I mean, I'm a child of the 60s myself, and I believe there was a lot of good about that movement, certainly good intentions. But the use of drugs, I do think, tends to, again, introvert people and to take them off of societal change and into kind of an interior paradise or hell that really doesn't, in the long term, affect the structure of the system.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Jeff, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Again, it's a question of manipulation of the society, of fads. Any influence, certainly, that might have been directed toward Garcia or the Dead could have been done at a level that they were not even aware of above them. Very simple.
And that's my contention. My contention. It was probably done at a level that they were not aware of.
Yeah,
Same with Timothy Leary. I think he might have thought, hey, you know, this is CIA experimentation, but ultimately it's a good thing. One has to decide for themselves whether it turned out to be a good thing or not.
Well, the puppet masters are more clever than to have direct strings going to lead guitarists and rock groups. It's the message. It's, as you said, the entire milieu of it that really brings home the test results that they're looking. This is all an incredible experiment carried on by a number of agencies in very small microcosmic fashion and on the large canvas as well. And it's almost impossible to delineate and lay it out, but that's what's going on.
And again, you know, what I was saying was on the micro level, the psychiatrists talk about bombarding an individual until they are in a vegetative state for reprogramming. And it's projects like this, which is the mass scale of injection of LSD into the United States, that indeed can put a populace into a vegetative state and ripe for programming.
The incredible proliferation of psychologists, MFCCs, not that they don't do good work and don't have good intentions, is another earmark of a society that has been turned in upon itself in a way that is certainly, in a de facto sense, in many cases, having an effect of, shall we say, pulling them out of focus as a large mass.
And again, you know, the tentacles of the octopus, they make some kind of interesting twinings. You look at the personnel in the American Psychiatric Association back in the 1950s, and you find that about a seventh of that group in the United States were from Germany, from that area, from those eastern countries, and that many of the Nazis that were imported from Germany, about 5,000 of them, after the war, went into the psychiatric establishment and were able to work out schemes that were Nazi in origin, but were whitewashed and then deemed American.
Well, mind control certainly was not an invention of the Nazis, but they did a lot of work to bring it to a state of near perfection. All you have to do is look at Triumph of the Will, that really marvelous creation of Leni Riefenstahl, 1937-38, just incredible imagery. And that was put in the movie theaters and visually, literally mesmerized the nation and certainly impressed many people outside Germany as well. It was really something to see.
You know, Germany in the 1920s, with this sort of cabaret, sexual sadism, masochism orientation, there's certainly an argument to be made that that our society in many ways has been turned into the Germany of the 1920s.
Well, all you got to do is hit the internet, and you can see some evidence of that.
Yeah.
If you're not careful. Jim Keith is the guest. His new book is Mind Control, World Control, published by Illuminet Press, and that's available certainly on the internet. What's the phone number for ordering, Jim?
Jeff, I've got to correct you. It's not published by Illuminet. I have done a number of books through Illuminet, but this is from Adventures Unlimited Press. However, you can, the best place to get it, in my opinion, is from Illuminet. Again, it's 1-800-680-INET, 1-800-680-INET. And the reason I recommend that is that they have all my other works as well.
Sure.
It's one-stop shopping.
We're going to talk to you in about a week about your newest book on the Black Helicopter vein, Black Helicopters 2, subtitled The Endgame Strategy. Back with more, and thank you, callers, for holding. And we'll get to you as we continue tonight with Jim Keith here at Sightings. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Rancis of Sightings on the Radio. And we are, of course, in the middle of our program. Well, after the first hour, we're not quite in the middle yet. But my guest, Jim Keith, coming up a little bit later tonight. We're very fortunate to have join us on a relatively short notice. I've been trying to get hold of him. Dr. Peter Bregan, M.D., whose book, Talking Back to Prozac, and most recently, Talking Back to Ritalin, just staggered a lot of you listening. We did 3 hours with Peter a couple of weeks ago. And with the recent tragedy in Oregon, yet another shooting, as I'm sure you all know by now, apparently involving Ritalin and Prozac. I definitely want to get a read from Dr. Peter Bregan on this. The parents allegedly also under medication, so we need to talk about this. We will do so coming up a bit later in the program tonight. But right now we're talking with Jim Keith about his new book, Mind Control, World Control, the darker, more convoluted side of it all. We have on the phone now calling in from Midvale, Utah, John listening to us on KTKK. Hello, John. Welcome to the program and your question for Jim Keith.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, John. A little comment first. Certainly agree with you. I became, you may be familiar with the Executive Intelligence Review and their review of the Tavistock Society and how it really founded psychology and psychiatry in this country.
I am.
There's not much doubt that it's a pseudoscience. And certainly when we end up doping the minds of our kids because we perceive that they're a little hyperactive, we're making a mistake. But, of more import, there are all kinds of mistakes. You were making comments with regard to music. I think largely we could all admit that any time a bad tune, like the dawning of the age of Aquarius, when an industrial rock continues for years past the bad tune's first appearance,
right.
we know who's controlling it, right? But at the same time, we can look at Jimi Hendrix's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner and I think find music in that. I'd like to preface my question that, you know, the freedom of a rational mind and a reasonable thinking mind is really necessary for discovering and understanding the physical laws of nature and the moral laws in the wisdom of nature's creator. And when a collective society attempts to restrict the freedom of the individual sovereign mind there, then that society restricts itself in discovering and improving and developing. Do you think it's time that we have a proposal for new foundations of our Constitution based on an individual sovereignty and the freedom of a rational mind?
Well, there's a whole program, John, right there.
That's a good question. I tend to think that the idea of revamping the Constitution is probably a bad idea, because I think, in fact, the Constitution is founded on individual sovereignty, and changing the Constitution really opens the door.
Oh no, I didn't say changing the Constitution.
Okay.
I said adopting. You know, the Constitution had to focus on bringing a republic of states together. That was its principal concern at the time, and it certainly did, extend, if you will, the idea that each individual has sovereign rights, and it was the job of not only the federal government, but to an extent the federal government, to force the state governments to protect those individual sovereign rights. That's there. It's been lost. It's been lost in giving up a lot to bureaucratic administration and the oligarchy that we've created there.
Okay.
But it going, you know, to begin a consciousness in this country, to get away from the entertainment and focus again on what it is that makes America great, a proposal, for establishing new foundations under the Constitution. Examining those foundations of individual sovereignty that support the Constitution, and then finding within that how we've allowed it to deteriorate.
You know, I'd say that's been my agenda all along. More than anything, I simply am attempting to orient people so that they're a bit distrustful of control, and so that they become more aware of the excesses that our government has been engaged in, and all of the methods by which their choice and their freedom is infringed. I think that's been my agenda all along.
I do hope you success in it.
Yeah, well, thanks. One wonders, has our freedom been taken away from us as much as we've been enticed into giving it up one way or another?
I tend to agree with you on that. For security, we've been enticed to give it up. But there's an old That's, quote yeah, there, yeah. too. That
yep.
You bet. You know, the enticement factor, I think, is great. And when one attempts to criticize the way that people are living and suggest that maybe, you know, we don't have our sights set on the priorities, for instance, criticizing the idea of youth culture is for instance, totally wrapped up in music. Is that really appropriate for us to be sort of popping our fingers and talking ghetto patois? Is that really in the interests of the broad public life and in their manner of living? I don't think that really is the key to freedom for most people, to become in this sort of to get into this fashion and music, and it's the way of the politically castrated.
The youth culture, which is now king, the culture of young, of pretty, of firm, of tall. I was in the store the other day, and there were university students nearby, and some were in line. They clearly looked and acted like university students for the most part. And the one young lady was with a guy, and she looked at the cover of People magazine, as apparently they all do, and when you're in line in supermarket stands, you can't miss them. And Cher is on the cover. And the girl said, "Ew, what is Cher doing on the cover of People? Isn't she dead yet?" And I said to myself, this is really an adversarial relationship, younger people and older people. And I'm wondering if that might be the next divisive tool.
What do you mean next? I come from, I'm a 60s child. I was graduating from George Washington University in 1969.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We've always got to, don't trust anyone over 30.
Well, it seems to be pretty virulent now and some of the things I've been hearing and seeing. And all the ad agencies are keying on this young, perfect physical form that there's no middle age. It's not in the magazines.
Not in some of the magazines.
Some, of course.
But I think that we have a fairly broad media for those who are really interested in getting. And I honestly think, too, that I put on some free rock and roll concerts out here. It's near, Middell's near Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
I have established these earth gems out here. And I only use local music, okay? First of all, local
mm-hmm.
performers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's alternative rock. And you find a kid playing with his guitar, and he finds the harmony in the music, and he hears something new in it, and the freedom that comes to him. There are certain principles that come beyond thinking about the sovereign rights of an individual that I think we need to protect, too. But you're right. Let's ignore the industrial rock. Let's stick close to our local music.
Good. Thank you, John, very much for the call.
Okay.
Thanks for being out there. Jim, the idea, again, going back to the number of psychologists, psychiatrists in this country, accident or encouraged?
Well, you know what my book is about is kind of a history of mind control and all of these different fabrics that are intertwined to sort of create a straitjacket for the society. And in terms of the psychiatric establishment, you look at their motives and you look at their history, and it is entirely materialistic. It goes back not to get too arcane here, but it goes back to the late 19th century and the German-Prussian system, both of education and of psychology. And their whole thesis was that man is an animal, man has no spirit, and that the correct orientation is to grant the state complete control, and the individual is simply a cogwheel. And I believe psychiatry has furthered that agenda for the entirety of this century through groups, for instance, like the Nazis, through funding by the Rockefellers, through the horrible experimentation of the CIA. In fact, psychiatry and the Prussian school system, which we have, it was always oriented towards keeping the person down, socializing, meaning robotizing them. I don't see that as a healthy thing.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. The issue of pre-programmed mass murderers turned loose in society and then programmed to go ahead and carry out perhaps pre-planned killings to stampede the public, the idea of using that as a tool is one that's pretty repugnant to anyone. And yet there is a lot to suggest that's what's going on. When we continue with Jim Keith, we'll talk about that. Your calls are welcome. A bit later tonight, we're going to be talking and visiting with Dr. Peter Bregan, M.D., about Ritalin and Prozac and what's happening to our young people in the schools around this country. I think you'll be shocked and stunned. We had Dr. Bregan on a couple of weeks ago and did 3 hours on the Ritalin issue, and it was amazing. All that and much more coming your way tonight here at Sightings. And don't forget the website, www.sightings.com. For those of you new to the Internet, even with web TV, you can get there no problem at all. And tons of new material up here. Great new graphic just went up today. My webmaster, James Neff, got one in from a young artist, and we put it up there. It's terrific. Be right back with more in just a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back, everybody, and thanks for choosing to spend your time with me tonight. Jim Keith, my first guest this evening. By the way, Jim will be back next Thursday to talk about Black Helicopters, his new book, Black Helicopters 2, The End Game Strategy. A lot of people don't think there are black helicopters, but believe me, after you read Jim Keith's book, there is no doubt. Talking tonight about his other new book, Mind Control, World Control. It is available through Illuminet Press at 1-800-680-INET, I-N-E-T. We're going to segue here, I think, Jim, very nicely into this most recent high school shooting and ask you to describe the technology available to people who might want to do such a heinous thing as programming a human being to go out and commit an atrocious slaughter like that.
You know, the entirety of the technology is not known to me, of course, because there are certainly a lot of secrets, and that's my job, is kind of uncovering these secrets. But we do know that the CIA, for one, along with other intelligence agencies, has been involved in the creation of mind control subjects, and with a particular interest in mind control assassins. Now, this most recent debacle in Springfield, I don't know if there was any kind of overt manipulation there, or whether, in fact, it was this sort of psychiatric orientation of putting people on drugs, of reducing their consciousness. That really is all it would take to create a berserker like that, and we are seeing these berserkers quite commonly these days. There may have been no CIA agent lurking behind the screen on that one. It may just have been the use of these drugs to suppress kids' impulses and so forth, and the barrage of information we get. But a more fine cut technology does exist, and you see that often in the high-profile cases, like, for instance, Mark Chapman, who killed the rock star John Lennon.
Right.
You see him involved tangentially with all these sort of CIA connections.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange things.
You see him in Lebanon right at the time when the CIA is running an assassin squad training school there. Guys like Sirhan Sirhan, who killed Robert F. Kennedy, which people have suggested might have been in the interest of the establishment to have this kind of radical political figure killed. You see experts attesting that at the time of the assassination, Sirhan was definitely hypnotized. It goes both ways. You do have these mind control overt mind control projects, mm-hmm. creating assassins, yet at the same time we live in a culture, a psychiatric culture that reduces the freedom of choice, the intelligence of people, and that also can create these berserkers that go wild in schoolyards.
Well, when they watch television for 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, and see over and over again countless times that violence is, in terms of TV, for the most part, an acceptable means of dealing with hurt, insult, or abuse. Don't get mad, get even.
Well, you know, it's part of the it's part of the consumer culture, isn't it? The people who do TV realizes that violence and sex draws our attention and holds our attention, so therefore we are fed a diet on TV saturated with sex and violence. And, you know, seeing that sort of thing, what is it, for 6 hours a day, for 8 hours a day on the average? I don't know what
it is. That's 43 hours a week.
But it definitely puts a groove in the brain cells.
The issue of mass murder, though, somebody going into what's with all the postal workers? I mean, it's become almost a cliche now. Someone goes postal, they say. There have been a number of these instances. Is there something being done to polarize our society, to encourage and enhance the prospects of total gun control and removal? Is that a possible agenda in the mind control venue that you're familiar with?
Sure. surely, surely. You know, a lot of people have speculated that it is remarkably useful to the agenda of, let's say, the New World Order to have these people going berserk. And this, in turn, opens the door for a lot of gun control and so forth. At the same time, when we talk about postal workers, it may simply be a society reducing people to the level of a cogwheel and forcing them into an inhuman repetition of activity.
Well, yes, but there are many other professions that would fit that definition as well, I think. And the other issue is maybe we're looking for excuses here where there really aren't any. Maybe it is just a signpost, a marker that this society is, as some say, finished, and it's disintegrating, and terminal madness is beginning to manifest itself for a multitude of reasons, and maybe these are just symptoms.
Personally, I would not choose a generalization like that. I think that there are plenty of specifics, and one of them is that the individual is now seen by the powers that be as being something to be utilized and to be something to be manipulated. And when that manipulation becomes utterly pervasive, the organism goes berserk.
Indeed. This is being discussed around the clock now. It will continue, unfortunately, according to most people who look at the situation. These acts of random, seemingly planned violence. I mean, those kids in Arkansas planned out that event pretty well for two little kids. It's amazing what's going on. No matter how you cut it, whether it's intentional, planned, or another sign of the so-called end times, we are in most difficult distress as a society.
But there are keys, and one key to the people who go crazy and shoot up the schoolyards, as I said, one key is that a high percentage of them are on psychiatric drugs, I think that needs to be trumpeted.
Well, we're going to trumpet it with Dr. Peter R. Bregan, whose book, Talking Back to Ritalin, was the subject of a program here 2 weeks ago. We're going to get to him next. Jim, thanks very much for coming by tonight. This will be a great segue. We'll cover the bases tonight. Mind Control, World Control, the new book by Jim Key. Thank you, Jim. Talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
Okay, good night.